G'day, mate. How are you going?
I'm good. I can hear that you're travelling, mate.
Yeah, I'm at work this morning again.
Where are you?
Sydney.
Okay, Luke, talk to me.
Yeah, in the things where I was speaking to Thomas, part of the Royal Fire Service, I've spoken to you a couple of times about it. I guess you call it a veteran of, or I'm a young one in our brigade of 28 years.
Right.
The penalties for lighting fires, I think my views may come across as a bit harsh to some people. But
Luke, how long have you been a member of the Rural Fire Service?
28 years.
28 years. How many fires have you put out that you reckon were deliberately lit?
Can I borrow most of your listeners' hands and fingers?
How many do you reckon?
Oh, mate, 80%.
80% of the fires you have attended, you reckon were deliberately lit?
Well,
did they ever catch anyone?
They did on a couple.
And what were the consequences? What happened?
I'm not sure. They got taken away. So I got brought up in the service through the old school and now the new school of training.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they used to get loaded into a paddy wagon, and the police used to deal with them slowly on the way to the
That was when police could question people heavily around the chest and body area with a phone book.
That was when the phone book and
Well, those days are gone now. So, when these assholes are arrested, I want to know what are the consequences.
I've got no idea what the consequences are. We don't see that side of. We just deal with whatever you guys see.
Yeah,
and it's kind of.
Well, here we are, a 37-year-old man arrested and charged with allegedly deliberately lighting 18 bushfires in the Darwin rural area last week. So we'll keep a very close eye on what happens to him. And the other thing that I've been talking about, Luke, is looting. How come every time there's a natural disaster? Yes, we have benefit concerts and yes, we have fundraising and we try and help people, but the news bulletins also inevitably mention people looting. Can you believe it?
I can, because there's just those type of, as you put it and use your phrasing, assholes. That's not the phrase I'd like to use, but the phrase I'd like to use to get me kicked off radio. So, yeah, it's the lowest of the low.
In your 28 years experience fighting fires in the Rural Fire Service in New South Wales, Luke, and you've just told me you reckon 80% of them deliberately lit. How many of those deliberately lit fires have been lit by people in the Rural Fire Service?
I don't know, and we're not privy to that information.
But there's always a few, and I guess what you do attracts pyromaniacs, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. So that's why they've changed the way that we get new members now. So
yeah, how do you recruit now? How do you weed these people out?
So they've got to go through an interview process. There's a couple of hurdles for you to jump through, like criminal checks and that, which is all good and well if you've been caught before.
But if you haven't been caught before, it's just
the fact that you're lucky enough that you haven't been caught. Yeah, it's just one of those things. So there's a couple of hurdles to jump through. There's some pretty targeted questions that we've got, which I don't want to tell people about.
No.
Then they can rehearse what they want to say. There's a few targeted questions which we write down answers for, and it goes down to the head office and goes through a membership team, and they look through it with a fine-tooth comb, and, yeah, then you...
I've always been fascinated by fire. And maybe it's the blackfella in me, I don't know. I sit around an open fire and I see blackfellas dancing. I feel I communicate with my land and my ancestors. It's fire. I find it mesmerising. I don't feel a great need to go out and light them willy-nilly, but I am mesmerised by fire.
No, it's the most mesmerising and destructive thing that I think is around. It's one of the most beautiful things that can be created. And yet it's so destructive in what it does.
Yeah. Well, mate, can I say to you again, thank you for what you do?
No, that's all right. I do it because I want to serve my community in that. But getting back to why I rang you was the punishment.
What consequences should there be, Luke, for people who deliberately light fires?
So deliberately lighting a fire. So on one other note, ask you a quick question. What do you get if you walk down a street? Like, what charge would you get for walking down a street with a loaded shotgun, wanting to go and knock someone off?
Oh, God.
You'd be charged with, like, attempted manslaughter and premeditated murder, that sort of stuff?
I don't know.
Mate, if you can do that with a firearm and get charged with that, why can't you get charged like that with fire? So if the fire that you light, like there was one yesterday in Western Sydney.
Yeah.
That threatened homes and stuff.
Yeah.
To me, that's threatening life.
Yeah.
That should be attempted.
If you deliberately light a fire and it's near property and lives and homes and livestock, what sort of penalty? Mandatory instant jail?
Yeah, instant jail. At least, like, you're innocent until proven guilty, of course. But if you're proven guilty, it should be put up on a charge of attempted manslaughter. Or if heaven forbid, someone does die in the fire, you should be put up with premeditated murder.
Okay, let me throw this into the mix. This is going to get people talking. What if you get behind the wheel of a car and you are high range? You haven't hit anyone, you haven't killed anyone, but you knew darn well that you were pissed to the eyeballs when you got behind the wheel of that potential lethal weapon. Is that the same thing?
Doesn't matter, mate. You've still made that conscious decision to go and do that, so you've already premeditated to go and drive that car, light that fire, shoot that gun, whatever you want to do. I think it's premeditated that you've gone out deliberately to do that act. If people say that I had no choice, I mean, that's a load of crap. There's always other options. You've got Uber these days, you've got taxis. You can't tell me no one goes to the pub and doesn't have a mate that's around somewhere. There's always options to do it. And as a firefighter, mate, we as you know, we attend motor vehicle accidents, we attend everything. And you always see the other side of it, and you just sit there and go, mate, if you just stopped and thought about it, especially with motor vehicle accidents, if you'd just taken the time to think about it and just leave your keys or just put your keys in your pocket and then get a cab or get an Uber. Sure, the Uber might cost you $50 or $60, but what's that worth to a human life?
I've just got an email here from Tim, who writes to us. Unfortunately, Tim doesn't ring in, but he's obviously listening live. He's a great contributor with emails. Tim says, anyone who deliberately lights a bushfire should be charged with attempted murder. He says, bushfires are capable of killing hundreds. To light one is the same thing as firing a bullet at random out of a car window. That's from Tim.
Exactly what I'm saying. So Tim and I are on the same page with it. So there's no difference to it. And then the other thing that popped up while I was listening was the mental support and what you train for.
Tell me this, Luke. You are often first responders, and we've been talking about that this morning. How do they train you to cope when you get to a scene that's horrific?
So we're lucky enough, and I thank the guys. There's guys on the end of the phone. These guys don't get paid. They're, to us, or to me anyway, they're one of the major unsung heroes. We've got what they call a CRIS team, a critical incident stress team. Anything that may affect this, if we go to like a horrible motor vehicle accident, we go to a bushfire that has turned really nasty. I've used them a couple of times. We ring up, they'll come out, they'll sit with us. We call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, or 366 on the other year.
Yeah.
And they pick up and they'll listen if it's too like now.
Hey, listen, Luke, stay there. I got Jason on the other line. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Luke.
I've got volunteer rural firefighter Luke on the other line. You've been listening. Jason, what did you want to say?
But you can't get any simpler than this. When they light a fire, they've got one intent, and that's an act of terrorism. They put terror, people can die, there's destruction of property, there's all sorts of stuff. Livestock, they know what they're doing. And, you know, little kids and whatever, like, whatever. The people that actually light them are people that know what they're doing. And it should be informed and dealt with under the Terrorism Act.
Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even consider that one, but I'm more supportive. I'm more than supportive of all that sort of thing. Like, I got caught by my old man when I was younger under the kitchen table playing with matches. I soon learned how a match burns twice, and ever since then, I've got a found respect for it.
Jason, thanks for your call.
No worries, thank you. Bye.
Well, there you go. You get a lot of support out there, Luke. Luke, thank you so much for calling in.
No worries. Thank you very much, mate. And I'd love for you to come up and meet our guys and that one day.
I would love that, Luke. Let's work on it.
No worries, mate. I'll send you an email.
And can I just say this? I hope you have a quiet, uneventful summer.
I can tell you now that's not the case. We've already got crews out. We've got people from our station that went to the Northern Territory. We've currently got guys up Tenterfield, Glen Innes, dotted all around the northern part of the state, already working now. So the hope of a quiet season is a long-lost dream now.
What sort of a fire season is Australia in for, Luke?
Honestly, at the moment, I'd hate to say it, it's panning out at the moment the way the 1920 season did. But you never know what's around the corner. We could get, well, they're hoping a monsoon, and that's going to come through. Yeah.
But there's a lot of fuel on the ground, isn't there?
There is, but the problem is because of all the wet weather we've had, especially after the 20 season, the fuel moisture content, which we rely on, as bad as it sounds, is that we rely on to be dry enough for us to put fire on the ground to do our hazard reduction work.
Mm.
It's been way too high, and then all of a sudden it's gone from being too wet, and within a couple of weeks it's too dry.
Yeah, geez, it's an amazing country, isn't it? Once again, Luke, thanks for everything you do, mate. We'll stay in touch.
No worries. Thank you very much, mate. I'll call you again one night.
Hope so. Bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye.